Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Sam Strong.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Here's how powerful the chief executive of the South Korean giant Samsung is. Lee Kun-hee has just been indicted on tax evasion charges after a long investigation, but because of how important a figure he is in South Korea, authorities say he probably won't be jailed. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more.
Officials say Lee evaded about $114 million in taxes, but the fact that he's staying out of jail for now is no surprise to former U.S. Ambassador to South Korea Donald Gregg. He describes Lee this way.
He is a titan in South Korean industry.
Lee's father started Samsung, which has become one of the world's leading firms in high tech and other industries. The company's success has helped South Korea become one of the world's largest economies. But Gregg says in order to foster growth, the government looked the other way while business leaders engaged in sketchy practices.
Taking shortcuts or using procedures, which by today's standards are illegal, but in the swashbuckling period of Korea's development were winked at.
Just last year, the chairman of carmaker Hyundai was sentenced to 3 years in prison, though his sentence has since been suspended because of his similarly important role in South Korea's economy. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Today's the day the marriage between financial service giants becomes official. Thomson Reuters is the name of the new company, no hyphen. Several thousand layoffs are expected over time among the combined staff of 50,000 people. 4,000 jobs are to be chopped at financial services company Merrill Lynch. The company said this morning its first quarter was brutal, $6 billion of write-downs. They blamed the $2 billion loss for the quarter on more subprime write-downs. On Wall Street this morning, the Dow is down 25 to 12,595. The NASDAQ is down 10 to 2339, and the S&P is down 3 to 1361. Oil hit a record high today of $115 a barrel, and the dollar reached a record low against the euro. Later today, the House is expected to pass legislation aimed at stabilizing and expanding the federally guaranteed student loan market. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Many education experts say this is one credit market that hasn't felt a crunch. Ed Elmendorf represents more than 400 schools with the American Association of State Colleges and Universities.
None of the schools have indicated to us any problem whatsoever.
He says so far, federally guaranteed loans are going out to any student who needs one. Still, many in Congress are worried. And later today, the House is expected to pass a bill that would allow students and their parents to borrow more from federally guaranteed student loan programs.
The bill reduces borrowers' reliance on costlier private loans.
Congressman George Miller hopes it will also prevent a student loan crisis if the private market for these loans dries up. But Elmendorf worries the bill will increase student debt and could give universities a green light to raise tuition. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
As the world waits for Zimbabwe to announce the results of its presidential elections from a few weeks ago, today a new addition to the drama. South African officials confirm a Chinese ship carrying arms has been cleared through South African customs. Gretchen Wilson reports the containers allegedly contain mortars and rocket-propelled grenades destined for Zimbabwe's army.
The shipment is sparking fears that violence will explode in Zimbabwe if the political stalemate remains unresolved. Observers say that since the elections, the country is increasingly run by the military, the police, and paramilitary groups. Dale McKinley is a political analyst in Johannesburg.
The army and the militia are mobilizing, and this is a new phase, as far as I'm concerned, of a militarization of Zimbabwean society. And that does not bode well, either for the political opposition or obviously for the ordinary citizenship.
That militarization depends on the trade of arms. In recent months, Western countries have tried to put pressure on China to stop delivering arms to African countries, particularly Zimbabwe. But Beijing's relations with the Mugabe regime go way back. Zimbabwe supplies China with tobacco and minerals, and China provides attractive loans, farm supplies, and military support. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
You are listening to the Marketplace Morning Report this Thursday, April 17th on marketplace.org. The price of oil has hit another record high. U.S. crude was fetching well over $115 a barrel in London this morning. As Stephen Beard reports, speculation and uncertainty about oil supply lines are fueling the boom.
Hedge funds are betting that oil supplies will come under increasing pressure. Nigeria is one area of concern. Africa's largest producer could be pumping 30% less oil within a decade, according to one report. And Russian oil production may have peaked, says a senior executive in Moscow. Meanwhile, demand for oil is growing incessantly, especially in China. Rob Lachlan is a senior trader with MF Global.
China has an insatiable lust for oil. Certainly its demand for diesel and a lot of oil products is booming. We have to take into account they're holding the Olympics, and that's a dominant factor in demand.
Investors seem to believe that the growing thirst for oil in China and India could even cancel out decreasing demand in the US. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Hopes for hammering out a new farm bill by Friday's deadline fell apart on Wednesday. Instead, Congress granted itself a week-long extension. That's the third extension since the existing farm bill expired 6 months ago. Lawmakers just can't agree on how to pay the $280 billion price tag. But the subsidies contained in the bill are also becoming a political liability as food prices soar. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton explains.
Farm bills loaded with subsidies for the nation's largest agricultural producers are nothing new, but sky-high commodity prices are. Richard Wiles of the nonprofit Environmental Working Group says Congress didn't get the memo.
Here we have record-high farm income. We have food prices rising, yet what the Congress wants to do is give these rich farmers billions of dollars every year while they actually cut money to the poorest Americans. So it's exactly backwards.
Wiles hopes further delays will force Congress to keep extending the 2002 farm bill. He says that would buy time to create a spending package that would shift billions of dollars in farmer payouts to programs that address more pressing issues like rising food prices and land conservation. But National Farmers Union President Tom Bias says that approach would backfire.
You don't write a farm bill for the good years, you write them for the bad years.
Bias says despite record prices for key commodities like corn, soybeans, and wheat, many farmers are still barely hanging on.
Commodity prices are higher than they've been on a variety of commodities, but the input costs to those producers have skyrocketed as well.
Things like tractor fuel and fertilizer. And he says without government support, any natural disaster could wipe out a farmer's profits in an instant. Farm states still pull a lot of weight in Washington, so those subsidies remain largely intact. But other aspects of the pending legislation have changed, albeit mildly.
The policy process in Congress rewards incremental change.
Amy Wittman with the Sustainable Agriculture Coalition says new funding for local food production and nutrition programs make the proposed farm bill better than its predecessor, even though it isn't as radical as she'd hoped. But she hasn't given up that hope. Wittman says as the public feels the pain of surging energy and food prices, Congress's incremental approach to change may no longer be acceptable. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Incomprehensible. That's how the president of Colombia explains a likely rejection of a free trade pact with his country. Doesn't look like Democrats on Capitol Hill will budge on the matter. President Bush wants to fast-track a free trade agreement with the fourth largest country in South America. Colombia bought nearly $7 billion of U.S. goods last year. Economics correspondent Chris Farrell weighs in on the debate.
Well, there's a lot of politics going on, but let's take a step back and just actually look at the agreement itself. It's a trade agreement with Colombia, and basically it changes very little, especially on the U.S. side. And here's the reason why. Colombia goods, they already come into the U.S. freely, except for, and you can probably guess, agriculture, because that's our most protected industry. But basically what we're saying to Colombia is, your goods are coming in free. You know what? We're just going to make that permanent.
But so what is the bigger picture here? Why is everybody going to all this trouble to get it passed if there really isn't anything at issue?
Well, the deeper issue with politics is, look, we know, and I think economists have made a good case, that the benefits of free trade are real. And you can use whatever number you want in recent history. It's benefited our economy to $500 billion to $1 trillion. But we ignore the losers. And the losers are saying, they're not really losers. They're the average American is sort of saying, wait a second, there's some downside here. Why is it in our system that if someone loses their job because of international competition from Mexico or Colombia or China, their family loses their health care? Or maybe it's a technological upheaval. I don't know. But those are the real discussions about how do you create a safety net for people who lose out to free trade. But by and large, the benefits of free trade are real. But it's much simpler to sort of yell and scream about Colombia than it is to actually deal with healthcare.
Do you know what is the reaction here? It's divisive. Is it divisive in Colombia, too? Are there two factions?
Oh, it is divisive in Colombia. And one sector that is very fearful is the agricultural sector in Colombia, and for good reason. They fear that they're going to have more cheap U.S. agriculture flood their market, and that will hurt their farmers. I mean, it's essentially, oh, if you want to use a code word, a pro-business policy being pushed by a pro-business administration. The agricultural sector is particularly worried, and they do have some good reasons to worry, because remember, our agricultural sector is among the most protected sectors in our economy.
That's Marketplace's economics correspondent Chris Farrell in Los Angeles. I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.